A series called The Journey, and we're looking at several different people who, in the scriptures, who went through journeys of their own, and of course, each of us are on a journey through life. It began when you were born, it will end when you die, or when Jesus comes, whichever happens first, but you are going on a journey, and everyone's journey is different. My journey is different from your journey. I experience things in my life that you won't experience. And your journey is different from everyone else's journey. It's different from the person behind you, the person in front of you, the person beside you. Because we all have different experiences in life. And one of the things that impacts our journeys so much are the choices that we make. Even the very small choices in life that we make that we think are inconsequential can impact your journey in ways that you will never imagine. We've looked at a number of different types of journeys in our study, and today I want to look at the journey of anticipation. I love history. Most of the books I read are about history. I just finished reading a biography of Davy Crockett. You know that one, Davy, you know that guy? By the way, most of what you know about Davy Crockett is a myth. If he hadn't been killed at the Alamo, you would not even know his name. But a very enlightening book about Davy Crockett, shattered my myths, destroyed my childhood, made me very despondent. I'm now reading a book about the Comanches. The Comanche Indians were the most feared Indian tribe in the United States. They single-handedly stopped the expansion of the Spanish coming up out of Mexico into Texas. That's a world-class army, and they stopped them. They actually stopped the westward expansion of the United States for years until finally the military sort of wiped them out. But I love history, and one of the great books that I read on history was on Lewis and Clark's expedition. If you have not read that, and I didn't bring the name with me, it is. If you like history, that is a great, great book to read. In 1804, President Thomas Jefferson commissioned Lewis and Clark to lead a band of men to explore what we had just purchased, called the Louisiana Purchase, and to see if there was a valid water route all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. It was called the Corps of Discovery. And the brains behind it, besides Thomas Jefferson, was Meriwether Lewis, but William Clark was the rugged outdoorsman, and he chose Clark to go with him as well as a group of other men to see if they could make it. Now, at that time, you have to understand that in 1804, the Western frontier began at St. Louis. St. Louis was the farthest outreach of America at that point in time. So everything between St. Louis and the Pacific Ocean was basically, for us, uncharted territory. And they were to go from there to see what was beyond St. Louis. And their journey was going to take them in unfamiliar territory to an unknown destination, at least as far as America was concerned. There were certainly people there. There were tribes out there of American Indians, but they were confined generally to small spaces. And much of the country from St. Louis to the Pacific was unknown territory. And it took them just over 2 years to get all the way out there, spend the winter, and get all the way back. When the Corps of Discovery set out, they didn't know what they would find along the way. They didn't know what they would find once they reached their destination. Can you imagine the anticipation of those men? Can you imagine the... Excuse me, I have something bothering me today. I think it's allergies. Can you imagine the almost fear? These are some of the ruggedest men in our country taking on this expedition, but I can only imagine the anticipation and what it was like. They had more questions than they had answers. They were going where few Except for some American Indians and a few old crusty French trappers, they were going where no one had ever gone before. It took some brave men to go out into the unknown, not knowing what they would find, not knowing what would happen to them along the way. I've always been impressed with the courage of explorers. Maybe it's because I'm not such a brave person myself. But when I look at men like Marco Polo, men like Columbus, men like Magellan, men like Lewis and Clark, men like David Livingstone in Africa, men in our lifetime like Neil Armstrong, I'm impressed with their courage as they set out to explore the unknown, to go to places, many of them where no one had gone before, or at least most of the world had not gone. When you think about journeys into the unknown, especially in the context of the Bible, the journey that we think about is the journey of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land. As Israel set out following Moses, what do you think they anticipated along the way? I can almost guarantee you what happened to them was not what they anticipated. What did they anticipate when they finally reached their destination called the Promised Land? I want to look with you this morning as we think about the journey of anticipation. I want to look with you at the journey of Israel. And I hope by the time we're done, to be able to show you how similar your journey is to Israel's journey. Well, I want to start then by looking at Israel's journey with you. We don't know everything about Israel's journey. The Bible does give us some details, but not many. Do you know that in the Gospels, and we have the story of Jesus in the Gospels, if you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you know how many days of Jesus' life is actually given to us, recorded for us? It's somewhere around 30 days out of 30 years. Same thing is true in the journey of Israel. What we have are just snapshots, a few days out of 40 years wandering in the wilderness. So the Bible doesn't tell us everything about their journey, but it does tell us some things. What we do know is that Israel faced some of the same challenges as all great explorers face. All great explorers, and this includes Moses and Israel, face going into an unknown territory. They face not knowing what they'll encounter along the way, not knowing what they will find once they reach their destination. They didn't know even where their destination would be, where their journey would lead them. Now, of the first five books of the Bible, we call that the Pentateuch. That comes from two Greek words meaning five books. Makes sense, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Maybe for you it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Five books. The Jewish people call it the Torah. Four of those books, from Exodus through Deuteronomy, are a record of the journey of Israel. Much of it includes the laws that will regulate the nation, but those books are records of Israel's journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Israel's journey was a watershed moment in their history. If we look at the history of our country, there are certain key moments that made our country what it is. Perhaps the Revolutionary War. Perhaps you would think of the Civil War. There are certain key moments. The journey of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land was one of those moments. It was part of the foundation of the nation. It was woven into the fabric of the nation. It made them who they were. Now, there's a lot of material, as I said, in the Old Testament about Israel's journey, and we obviously cannot look at all of it. So I've selected just three passages for us to look at this morning to give you sort of an idea of what their journey was like. So let's look at three. I'm going to ask you to turn to these because they're longer passages. Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you're using the Pew Bible, and if you didn't bring one, grab one out of the pew and turn to page 129. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll look at two passages in Deuteronomy and then one in the Psalms. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want to read beginning with verse 2. This is Moses speaking now to Israel. He said, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you by the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Remember, when they first came out of Egypt, went to Mount Sinai, got the Ten Commandments, God said, okay, you need to leave Mount Sinai and go into the Promised Land. They went to Kadesh Barnea, which was just at the southern end of the Promised Land, and they didn't obey his commandments. That's why he sent the spies in, and they came back and said, we can't go in. The walled cities, giants, we'll all die. Let's go back to Egypt. So God had them wander in the wilderness to see if they had learned their lesson. He goes on to say, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you." Turn over now to Deuteronomy chapter 29. The first 9 verses in your Bible, if you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 144. Deuteronomy 29, beginning with verse 1. "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them at Horeb," which is Mount Sinai. "Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, 'You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Shihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." And then let's look at Psalm 107 in your Pew Bible, page 412. Psalm 107, and we'll read verses 4 through 9. Here's what the psalmist says about Israel's wandering. He says, "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." As I looked into the journey of Israel this past week, there were 6 things that stood out to me that are very much like our journey. I want to share those six things with you. The first one is their journey involved hardships. When we think of the wilderness wanderings of Israel, that's what we think about. We think about the hardships that they endured. Moses talked about the fact they were hungry and they were thirsty and God chastened them. The psalmist points out here that they were hungry and thirsty. He says their soul fainted in them, which is another way of saying they just wanted to give up. They just wanted to quit. If you've ever been in the desert, it's blazing hot during the day, and it's bone cold at night. It's sandy. The wind blows. They lived like Bedouins in tents. It was probably crowded. It was not an easy journey. During those 40 years, they suffered many, many hardships. The second thing that I noticed about their journey was that their journey involved blessings. This is what we don't want to miss when we talk about Israel's journey. Did you notice it was filled with blessings? Their clothes didn't wear out. Now, I know some of you ladies would not consider that a blessing. If you had to wear the same dress for 40 years, you would be not happy with that, but they were happy with that. Their sandals didn't wear out. I loved what he said. Their feet didn't swell. I mean, just a little thing, right? Just a little thing. But if you've ever been in a hot situation and your feet swelled and you couldn't put your shoes on, that was miserable. They didn't have to work for their food. God provided every day. The food was there. When they cried out to God because they were thirsty, he gave them water to drink. When they cried out for meat, he gave them meat to eat. They were victorious in battle over their enemies. These are a group of shepherds who don't know anything about warfare, and they destroyed two kings of the Amorites. And then the psalmist says in the Psalm 107, he delivered them, end of verse 6, out of their distresses. They had hardships. Don't minimize that. But they had blessings. Don't miss that. The third thing that I noticed about Israel was they were tempted to stop short of their destination because they didn't understand what was to come. One of the earliest examples of this is in the book of Exodus, and Exodus chapter 16, and in your pew Bible, it's on page 49. But in Exodus chapter 16, the first three verses of that chapter say, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" They hadn't been out of Egypt for 2.5 months. And they were complaining and wanted to go back. They did the same thing after they sent the spies in at Kadesh Barnea. 10 of the 12 spies brought back an evil report. And in Numbers chapter 14, it says this: "They said to one another, 'Let's choose another leader and go back to Egypt. Forget Moses, forget Aaron, let's choose somebody else who will take us back.'" Even though, do you remember what God had told them? Even though God had told them they're going to a good land. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to go back to bondage because they didn't understand what was to come. All they could see is how bad it is today, and they couldn't see the possibility of a better tomorrow. They didn't know how good the promised land would be. They didn't know the blessings that God had for them. The fourth thing that I saw as I studied this passage was their future was far better than their present. This goes along with what I just said about not understanding what was to come. If you compared the future in the promised land with their present in the desert, there's no comparison. Think about, again, what it would be like to live in the desert for 40 years. I came up with three words that I think summarize living in the desert. Sun, sand, and scorpions. That was living in the desert. It was miserable. Listen to what Moses said again back in that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we looked at. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, just verses 10 and 11, in your pew Bible on page 128, Moses said, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full." Then he gives them a warning. Then beware. Why would you want to stay in the desert? Why would you want to go back to Israel with this promise? Their future was far better than their present. Well, the